I'm going to ask you to head back with me to the Gospel of Luke today. Gospel of Luke. We've been looking at the very first carols of Christmas beginning this month. We've already looked at and learned from two songs that were sung in anticipation of the birth of Jesus. We looked, first of all, at the song of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who proclaimed, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." We also saw the song of Zacharias last Sunday, the father of John the Baptist, who is Jesus' cousin. He's saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." Well, this morning we're going to read Luke's account of the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, and then focus our attention on the first two songs that were sung in response to the birth of Jesus. So we have the two songs prior to his birth, and now we're going to look at the two songs after. Next Sunday, we're going to look at the song of Simeon in our Christmas program. But today we're going to consider the song of the angels. Hark, the herald angels sing. The song of the angels to the shepherds of Bethlehem. And we're going to begin by reading this extraordinary passage, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And we'll read through verse 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or counted. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed or counted, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What an incredible story. And what an incredible song of praise to the Lord that we found there in just one verse. Verse 14, as the angels all together sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This is a true doxology, a song of praise to God, and this is the song that we are going to look more closely together at. The first thing that we see is the setting of the angel song. The setting of the angel song, where immediately after the account of Jesus' birth, which we already read from verses 1 through 7, there was a single angel that came from heaven. And he met a group of shepherds not far from the city of Bethlehem. And in verses 8 through 12, we find a setting of great contrasts. Contrast between night and day. And I believe in these verses, what God is doing here is not only telling us what the birth of Jesus Christ is all about, but even showing us what the birth of Jesus Christ is all about. It's kind of like when I was in elementary school. Every month or so, we would have a show and tell. Anybody else have that when they were in school, a show and tell? I looked forward to these when I was in school. I loved it. In fact, one time we did a show and tell, and I was able to bring my guinea pig. And I think after that, we got a little note saying you can't bring live animals to show and tell. But I always loved show and tell, and not so much the telling part, but the showing part. Showing was always better, especially when I brought my guinea pig. Everybody wanted to see Henry the guinea pig. But that is what God is doing here to the shepherds. Not just telling what the birth of Christ is about, but showing them and us what this baby in the manger is all about. And he does so through contrasts. Here's a great object lesson of the gospel itself. In fact, when we come to verse 8, just think of the solitude of those shepherds. The great solitude. It says there was in the same country where Joseph and Mary and now Jesus had been born, in that same country, the region around Bethlehem, abiding in the fields. And mind you, this was where David, the king, before he was king, had tended sheep himself as the son of Jesse, the youngest son of Jesse, abiding in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. A group of shepherds. We don't know exactly how many, but there under the open sky, doing their important but often thankless task of keeping sheep. A shepherd in Israel at this time was a very humble type of work, but it was also very mundane and sometimes could be very lonely, which is probably why they all came together so they could watch all of their collective sheep and keep watch over them. Well, a few of them might catch some sleep for a couple of hours. Others would stay awake and watch the other sheep. And then they would take their turns as the night would wear on, and perhaps they were bored. Perhaps they wanted to tell stories to one another as shepherd. But again, it could be very lonely and a very mundane life of solitude. In fact, their profession, even though it was important, many of the lambs that they would be raising there, probably just a few miles from Jerusalem, could be used in sacrifice to God. But even though their profession was important, it was not considered to be very respectable. And I'm sure that the solitude at times could have been unbearable. But what did God do? What did God bring into this life of solitude for those shepherds? Verse 9, we find a great visitation. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. It was sudden. It was unexpected. But God had a message for those shepherds. And isn't that a picture, a contrast of what the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is to us? God himself in Jesus actually is visiting us in our lives of solitude. Remember what David wrote, that shepherd boy who probably tended sheep in the same vicinity as these shepherds, in Psalm 8 verse 4 said, "What is man that thou, God, art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him?" You know what God was doing in Jesus? He was visiting you and visiting me, just like he was visiting those shepherds in our solitude and in our loneliness in life. You see, God is not just telling us, but showing us that Jesus came to visit us, to visit you, to visit me, and to bring redemption to all who believe in him. But also think of the darkness of the shepherds. I don't think it's any surprise to see that this happened in the dead of night there in verse 8. Those shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, what kind of night was it? We're not exactly sure if it was a clear night, not a cloud in the sky, or whether it was a very cloudy night and couldn't even see the stars or the moon. We're not sure. But the darkness of the night then, at that time, would have been different than the darkness of the night that we experience today where we live. Think about the last time where you were out at night, late at night, maybe in early hours of the morning, and you looked around, and it felt dark for sure, but then you see the glow of all the lights from Indianapolis. And you look a little further, and you see the glow of the lights even from Greenfield. And where we live, we can actually see the glow of the lights from the racetrack, the horse racetrack, down near Shelbyville. And the darkness of our nights are nothing like the darkness of their nights. So even if it was clear, even if it was a starry night, yet the still darkness that they had experienced as shepherds, what took place? What did God do into the night of this darkness? Verse 9, there was a great light. Another contrast. From the darkness to the light, it says that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So along with this angel, there was a sudden display of the brightness of God's glory. It's kind of like the flip of a switch to turn on the light in the morning. We've all experienced this, where our eyes are adjusted to the darkness of night, the darkness in our house. And all of a sudden, someone flips on the light. What happens? Might get a headache from it, but we're like, whoa, it's too bright, too light. That is exactly what happened to these shepherds. Imagine if you were there. Solitude, quiet, darkness. All of a sudden, light switch turned on, and there's a glory, there's a brightness, there's a shining all around you. But it was not the light of the sun. And it was not the light of the moon. Instead, it was the light and the manifestation of God's own presence. It was kind of like the light that Moses saw. Remember when he went to the top of Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, to receive the law of God? And there was a great cloud above there and a great light. And when Moses came off the mountain, what happened to his face? The Bible says it shined. It shined so great that the people said, you need to put a veil over your face because we do not want to see the brightness of God's glory in your face. This light that they saw was like the light of the children of Israel that they saw when they were walking through the wilderness. Remember? There was a pillar of fire by night and a bright cloud by day of the Shekinah glory of God. That this brightness, this light of God's glory was something that hadn't been seen in Israel for a very long time. There was a time, a point, where the glory had left and the brightness had left. And we see now this brightness having come back, and it was sudden and shocking. But once again, a picture for us, an object lesson to us of what the gospel is. Jesus is God in the flesh, shining His light into our darkness. Remember what John writes about Jesus in John 1:4? It says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, just like it lit up the darkness of these shepherds, and just like it lit up the darkness of your life and my heart if you know Jesus as your Savior. But what took place to most of the people there in Israel at that time? John says that the light shined in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. Sad words, but not for these shepherds. These shepherds saw the glory, saw the light, saw the brightness. But we also see from this a direct fulfillment of prophecy. Brother Ed read Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 2 through 7, I believe, this morning. But listen, do you remember Isaiah 9, verse 2? A prophecy that says, and as I read this, think about the shepherds. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shined. Those shepherds were walking in darkness and doing their work there in the middle of the night, and the light of God shined brightly around them. And so God is not just telling us, but showing us through those shepherds that Jesus came to bring His light into the darkness, not just of this world, but into the darkness of your life and of our hearts. But we also think, when we look at this passage, of the fear of the shepherds. How would you feel? How would you feel if you just saw an angel, it just appeared right there in front of you, And then you also saw the brightness of God's own glory, which hadn't been seen for years, turned on like a switch. Verse 9, they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. Remember when the angel met Mary? It says that she was troubled. When the angel met Zacharias, he too was troubled. And we find here the shepherds also troubled. They are sore afraid. They experienced a fear like they had never felt before. But what did God do? What did God do to help them in their fear? Well, He gave them a message, verse 10, of great joy. Great joy. Familiar words. The angel said unto them, "Fear not. Don't be afraid, shepherds." These are the same words that the angel said to Mary, "Fear not." The same words that the angel said to Zacharias, "Fear not." And it's the same words that he gives to these shepherds and to us as well. "Fear not." Why? Because I bring you good tidings of great joy. Great joy to calm and soothe their great fear. Now, the angel did not just tell the shepherds to stop being afraid. Remember, as our children were growing up, that is something I would say to them. They're going to bed and they were afraid of the dark. They didn't want to go to bed. And I'd say, "You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid." Sometimes I'd forget to tell them why they don't need to be afraid. Usually I would try to encourage them through the verse. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Sometimes there were things, specific things that they were afraid of. What's in the closet? What's under the bed? Whatever. What does the angel do to the shepherds? He doesn't just say, "Stop being afraid," like we do to our children. But then he gives a good reason why. The reason why. Because you have a message from God. A message not of fear, but a message that you can believe in. And a message of great joy. Great joy. A reason to calm and reassure their hearts. And this is in stark contrast to their fear. The birth of Christ was a message of great joy. And once again, isn't that why the gospel is given to us as well? To turn our fear into faith. To turn our sorrows into joy. And as it says in 1 Peter 1:8, even to a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. So God, once again, is not just telling us, He's showing us that Jesus came to bring us joy. Great joy. Have you found the joy of Christmas in your heart and in your life already? It comes by believing in who came into this world. As we're going to see, He's a Savior, Christ the Lord. And if you put your faith and trust in Him from your heart, you know what's going to happen? You'll be able to sing the same song that the angels sang here that we'll look at here in a moment. But then there's another contrast that I want us to see. And it's the contrast of the number of the shepherds. We don't know exactly how many, but they were probably few in number. Not a great number. They would not have made a great entourage for this newborn baby king. But even though the message of the angel, the message of God, was delivered to just a few poor shepherds, this message, this gospel, was not meant just to stay in their close circle. It was meant and destined for many. That's why the angel says in verse 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." To all people. Not just you as a shepherd, not just you as a Jew, but to all people, far and wide. So though to the shepherds, it likely seemed so limited, it would be an infectious joy that would enter into the hearts of many. And this setting, which is not just a tell, but a show, displays to us the meaning of Jesus' birth. And then what does the angel do? He gives them the reason they don't have to be afraid. He gives them the good news. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, not far from you, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you." Now, they didn't ask for a sign. The assumption here is by the angels, when we give you the sign, go look for it. "This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." Now, that probably wasn't out of the ordinary. But look at this. Lying in a manger. A food trough for an animal. not a place where someone would purposefully lay their child, especially their newborn child, but that is the sign that God gave to the shepherds. You see, the Savior, the Rescuer, that was promised by God from the very beginning had finally come. Remember way back in the book of Genesis where God told the serpent, and through the serpent to Adam and Eve, that there's going to come a seed of the woman who will crush that serpent's head. This is that person. This is that seed. This is that child. This is that Savior. The Savior has come. And just as He finished, just as that one lonely angel, in the brightness of God's glory, finished his statement, it was as if another light switch was suddenly flipped on, and in verse 13, we find suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, a large number of the host of heaven. One writer describes it as the militiamen of heaven. You see, these angels were like a band of soldiers. A band of soldiers coming around and cheering for their commander. Cheering for the captain of our salvation. Cheering for God and His glory. And then we come to verse 14, which is the angel's song. And we hear the significance of the angel's song. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, different versions have this translated a bit differently. But verse 14 has been best preserved in a simple triad of praise. There are three statements. And each statement shows a place where God has worked in heaven, on earth, and in the heart of man. And this three-part song from the angels of God, their words are not wishes. Their words are not words of a prayer, hoping that these things would happen in the future. Sometimes we think that. Glory to God in the highest, and we hope that there will be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's not how it's stated. Their words are not a wish. Their words are not a prayer. Their words are a proclamation. A proclamation of what has actually happened in and through the birth of Jesus Christ that took place that very night. There was, at that moment, glory in the highest. When Jesus was born, there at that moment, there was peace upon earth. And right there in that moment, there was goodwill in or among men. And so in this song, we hear words of the greatest praise. The word of glory. Glory to God, they sing. Glory! This is an expression of praise and worship to God. Praise as a response to His glory and His goodness, the brightness of which the shepherds were looking at right then, but also the glory that was displayed in the birth of this child. And so with the words of the greatest praise, this great doxology, glory, it was words of greatest praise from the greatest place. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. It was as if the song of the angels that were there on earth, remember there's a band of angels there on earth, where are the rest of the angels? Up in heaven. Holy angels serving God at His right hand, doing whatever He wishes. It was as if the song of the angels that were there by the shepherds were just a small part of the music that resounded all the way up to heaven itself. Can you imagine the music? Can you imagine the song? Could you imagine the sound that just reverberated unto heaven there in the highest where God Himself dwelt? All of the holy angels would have been singing about the glory of God as well. It was a song of the greatest praise from the greatest place to the greatest person. Glory in the highest to God. To God. He is the only one deserving of this kind of praise. The only one who deserved this kind of worship. Because God is the one who, as we read in from Galatians 4, another passage that we often look at Christmas time, Galatians 4, 4 and 5, when the fullness of the time was come, right then, at that night, that very moment, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God deserves this glory. God deserves this praise. It was a song of the greatest praise from the greatest place in the highest to the greatest person about the greatest peace. What did the angel sing? And on earth, peace. Now remember, this is not a prayer. This is not a wish, but rather a proclamation of what happened right then, right there. You see, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, peace had come upon earth. Now, we often think of peace as a principle. We often think of peace as nobody fighting anymore, you know? Brothers and sisters aren't quarreling anymore. No more wars between nations. But no, Jesus Christ is that peace in person. In person. Jesus is that peace. Remember Isaiah 9, verse 6, which was also read this morning? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And then some titles are given to this child. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of what? Peace. Upon earth, peace. Peace had come. Jesus was born. The Prince of Peace had arrived. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 2:4, for He, Jesus, is our peace. So when the angels sang, peace on earth, they were saying peace had arrived. Jesus had come. He is our peace. He is our peace who have made both one, have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And just like the statement that I've seen on several signs that are outside churches, maybe you've seen this too. You see, only when someone knows Jesus, K-N-O-W, only when you know Jesus will you ever know, K-N-O-W, what? Peace. No Jesus, no peace. Why? Because Jesus is peace. And when Jesus was born, not only was there glory going on in heaven, but there was also peace on earth. So the angel's song was a song of the greatest praise from the greatest place to the greatest person about the greatest peace that you and I could ever know, the peace that is Jesus Christ. And it was done for the greatest pleasure. The third statement, the third stanza of this song is goodwill toward men, or goodwill in men, among men. You see, the birth of Jesus was done not according to the will and pleasure of men. These shepherds were a little surprised, I would imagine, when they saw Jesus there in the manger. It wasn't at all what they expected except for the angel telling them this. But if the king is coming, and remember, the Messiah is prophet, priest, and king. And if the king is coming, we're going to expect some royal welcome. But no, there he was lying in a food trough, a manger. This wasn't done according to the will, the pleasure, or the expectation of men, of you or me. Instead, it was done according to the goodwill and the good pleasure of God himself. I believe this third statement of this angel's song is really a further statement of God's own grace to undeserving sinners like us. You see, Jesus being born in humble circumstances to a humble man and a humble woman in a humble city, laid in a humble manger, that's not what any of us would have planned, not what any of us would have expected. But everything was exactly as God desired. Everything that God had planned. And through the birth of Jesus, His goodwill in human form was at that perfect time now among men. And that's why we often hear the name Emmanuel given. Why? Because Emmanuel simply means God with us. God's goodwill is among men. He has given to us His amazing grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this angel's song was a song of the greatest praise from the greatest place to the greatest person about the greatest peace for His greatest pleasure. the pleasure of God Himself. What an incredible song of praise. Think about it that way next time you hear it, or you read it, or even you sing it yourself. And then we come to verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. This verse implies that the angels seem to have left a little bit more slowly than when they had first arrived. They came all of a sudden, like the flip of a switch, but now they're kind of heading back to where they came from, heaven itself. And I can imagine them keeping that song in their voices, singing along the way, back into heaven. We don't know for sure if they were singing that whole song, but the angels gave a not-so-subtle hint to the shepherds. And that's why in verse 15, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go." Wouldn't you do the same? "Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." So they went. And what did they do? Verse 16, "And they came with haste." As I was preparing this message, I got to thinking, what did they do with those sheep? They were shepherds, keeping watch over their flocks by night. I'm not sure I'd want to be the shepherd getting the short straw to stick with the sheep while the rest of them go to Bethlehem to see Jesus. I can imagine every one of these shepherds saying, "You know what? We just heard that a Savior has been born. And most of our sheep here, we've taken pretty good care of. And they're going to be going to Jerusalem for sacrificial purposes. But if there's a Savior, we're not going to need to do that anymore. These sheep aren't going to be necessary for those sacrifices because we have a Savior in Bethlehem, who is Christ the Lord. Let's leave the sheep. God's going to take care of them. And let's go see this child. Let's go see what has taken place." That's not in the text. But imagine how excited those shepherds must have been as they made haste to go see the things that have taken place. And what do they find in verse 16? There's Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Exactly as the angel of the Lord described. And imagine what it must have been like for those shepherds, with the song of the angels still ringing in their ears the whole time. There in that manger was God's peace among men. There in that manger was God's peace come to earth. And I believe that the angels' song became their own song. Because if you look at verse 20, it says that the shepherds returned after seeing this great sight. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told unto them. Perhaps their song was the angel's song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Is this song your song today? Is this song your song? It will be if you're a bit like Mary. What did Mary do after seeing and hearing all the things that the shepherds had said? Look at verse 19. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The application for this message is for you to ponder what took place in the fields around Bethlehem on that night when Jesus was born. Don't just be wondering about it like some of the people that heard the shepherd's words, but keep it, ponder it, your mind and your heart. Believe it with all of your heart. Believe that Jesus came to be your Savior. Believe that Jesus came to be your peace. Believe that Jesus gave you God's amazing grace, His goodwill, His good pleasure, so that the angel's song can be your song today. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that You have given us a record of the angel's song. Because, Lord, it really is a stirring song. Even though it's short, concise, to the point, and yet it's beautiful. Beautiful in the arrangement that You gave us. Beautiful in the words that were inspired. Beautiful in the message and the meaning that it brings. Oh, Father, I pray that you will help that song to be on this, on the hearts of every one of us. Because just like the shepherds, you have visited our solitude. Your light has shined into our darkness. You have given us a message of real hope and of real life. And so, Father, this song that the angels sang wasn't just meant for the shepherds. It was meant for all of us to understand what you were doing right there in Bethlehem. You were displaying your glory. You were giving us your peace. And you were demonstrating your goodwill, your amazing grace. Oh, Father, I pray that we will respond by greater faith. Help us, Lord, to respond with greater love. Help us, Lord, to respond with a greater desire like the shepherds to go and tell anyone and everyone that we meet about who Jesus is and what Jesus did and came to do. Who he is. He's the Savior, Christ the Lord. And then, Lord, help the angel song to be our song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.